101.5 FM proudly presents The Community Kitchen with Annette Long.
And welcome to Community Kitchen. Of course, we've got Easter coming this weekend and looking forward to some beautiful weather. And, of course, we always seem to associate, as I said last week, with Easter having that touch of lamb and also that beautiful seafood. So I thought today what we'd do is we'd share a couple of recipes, and I'm thinking about doing a couple of ideas for batters, because it's something, sometimes it's just so nice, isn't it? And then that accompanying dish with the dressing so that you can either dip or pour on or touch, just gently touch the different seafoods with that nice little flavour. Doesn't always need much, but just is lovely. In the kids' kitchen today, we're going to be talking some Rocky Road, and I thought we'd do something a little bit different with the marshmallows, because with the marshmallows, it's a really good treat for kids just to see how that works, and I think that this could be a really nice little suggestion. And, of course, we've got a couple of other treats up our sleeve just to share on that Easter break. But let's have a little talk about the batters. Now, of course, I know that I hope you've had the pleasure of enjoying a beautiful tempura batter. It's so light and crisp, and it really is interesting, just the different combinations. And when we go through the recipes, you'll actually see what just changes that around. Now, with a tempura batter, and this is the way I've done it, and it's worked always, is a cup of plain flour, one egg yolk, and a cup of soda water or some really iced water. Very important to have that really cold. And so you just whisk the egg in the bowl, add the soda water, add the flour, and don't overmix it. It doesn't matter if it's got a few lumps, it's delicious. Now, this is a lovely combination if you're doing, say, for example, veggies or something that's not going to take too long to cook. I do love tempura veggies, and if you go to some of the lovely sushi places, they'll do a nice combination, and you can have different dipping sauces, a little bit of chili to go with that. But I'll share with you some ideas for some dressings. So once again, with that tempura batter, make sure that soda water or the iced water is really, really cold, because you just want that effect. And of course, that's going to make a big difference, the temperature. And I often see how, you know, people test the oil different ways. Just put a little bit of a crumb in there, and if it bubbles up, you know it's good. And then it comes back to what sort of oil do you use. I use peanut oil for any sort of deep frying. I love it. I love the flavour. I think it's great. I don't use canola in my house, but that's just my choice. When I was a kid, Mum used to use olive oil, and I love that flavour of chips done in olive oil, but you've got to get it really hot and be mindful, because it really does get some temperature happening there. But with a crisp batter, now I've done this with these stuffed zucchini flowers, and it works a real treat. And for that particular one, you use 2 eggs, a half a cup of plain flour, and just salt and pepper. Nothing really to this. So all you're doing is beating the eggs, adding the flour, and your seasoning. And, you know, when you think about these batters, you can be putting flavour in these batters as you go. They're just the basic batters. You can put your, you know, paprikas or your chili salts or whatever you want to do in there. Absolutely beautiful. But when you beat the egg and add the flour, the batter should easily drip off a spoon, because what you want is just a really little light coating. If it's too thick, just loosen it up with a little bit of cold water. But when you dip your veggies in that, drain the excess off and fry for about 4 to 5 minutes until golden brown. And that's just beautiful. But that is a really, I've done actually, when I did a functional, when my sister and I were busy before COVID doing lots of functions, we did the zucchini flowers stuffed with the lovely cheeses, and that worked a real treat. And they are just absolutely sensational using that crisp batter. And then, of course, nothing's nicer, in my opinion, to a really good beer batter. Once again, don't panic about the kids. It's going to cook out, but it's just delicious. And with the beer batter, you use about 1 1/3 cups of plain flour, a tablespoon of baking powder, and 375 ml of beer. Make sure it's really chilled. A tablespoon of vinegar and a tablespoon of oil. Now you mix the flour and baking powder in a bowl and then whisk in the beer, the vinegar and the oil. This is going to be a thicker one, but I tell you what, it's really good if you just cut all your portions into the one size so they cook at the same time. But that is delicious. And if you wanted to, you can always roll things. Once you've battered, dipped your fish or your chicken or whatever you're using the batter for, then you can always roll that. And you can do that with a mixture of sesame seeds and nuts or even your pankos, and that'll give it that really crunchy, crusty batter. But at the same time, put some flavours in there. If you want to do that little bit of southern chicken, beautiful. Once again, remembering if you do it with southern chicken, I always find that if you soak your chicken in the buttermilk, which of course is just your milk with your lemon juice or vinegar, it just tenderises it and it really does give it that extra little warmth, I think. But these batters are really excellent. Tempura batter with prawns, how delicious would that be? And, of course, the crisp batters. You can cut some really fine pieces of mushroom, asparagus. What I find with asparagus, make sure that you just use the tip part of it. Don't use that hard ends. And you know the trick with asparagus, just give it a little bit of a bend over, and what breaks off is usually too tough to eat. But don't throw it away. Cut it up. Put it in your fried rice or put it into a casserole or, put in a pasta or something like that. But it's just not very nice when it gets a little bit chewy, like too fibrish. But there's some wonderful little ideas for batters. Now, when we think about having those with some goodies, years ago I used to have a restaurant and we used to do this particular dressing called a firecracker dressing, and we would put that over our tempura prawns. And it's a very simple combination, but all it was two red chilies really finely chopped, a clove of garlic finely chopped, a cup of white vinegar, half a cup of olive oil, half a cup of lemon juice, half a cup of caster sugar, and a half a cup of sweet chili sauce. Gives you a lot, but it's a really nice dressing and it's got a really great zing to it. And when we'd do those prawns, we'd do that, put them over a salad and then just pour this dressing. And it was absolutely fantastic. And we'd call it our firecracker dressing because it had just a bit of a hit into it. So two red chilies finely chopped, one clove of garlic, cup of white vinegar, half a cup of olive oil, half a cup of lemon juice and half a cup of caster sugar. Just stir that caster sugar till it dissolves, and half a cup of sweet chili. And that'll give you a really good knock along. That one, I think it's absolutely beautiful. And another one that I cook readily. I think this is, for me, it's a beautiful dressing for a fish. And if I'm going to be using this, I sometimes do that if I'm doing a whole fish. And I was just talking about it today. We were talking about cooking and I was talking with someone and I was saying if I do a whole fish, what I'll do is do the big slits and I will really pack everything with corn flour or arrowroot. It just seems to give that nice little, a crunch to the skin. But just really rub that over and make sure it's quite covered and really press it into those little cracks. And then I cooked this chili sauce, and I was lucky enough when I went to Thailand to have their beautiful chili fish there, deep fried, absolutely beautiful. And this is about as close as it gets for me to the sauce. So two onions, and you finely chop the onions and the garlic, two cloves of garlic, and cook them down until they're transparent. Just that, don't let the garlic burn. Always do your onions first, then pop your garlic in towards the end. And then add 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of sweet chili sauce, 2 tablespoons of fish sauce. Move it around however much you like. Some people love a bit of fish sauce, some don't. And a cup of water. And what you're going to do is you're slowly simmering this until it reduces to a real thick, glossy sauce. And guaranteed, if you have that with some fish that you've either battered or deep fried, a whole fish in the wok, or, you know, with the prawns, the batters that we talked about, or the tempuras, absolutely beautiful. Or the firecracker dressing where you've actually got a really lovely big salad base. And be a little bit sort of creative with that. Don't forget the fantastic bean sprouts. You know, we sometimes forget food. It comes and goes in trends. But walk a little bit slower through the fruit and veggie aisle and through the different sauces and cooking items and the Asian section and the Mexican and the Chinese and the whatevers, because you actually pick up some really interesting little goodies along the way and they make your food just taste that little bit better. But visualising a lovely big platter with some salad on that, with some lovely prawns with that dressing, or, you know, battered and then with the nice dressing. What a great combination, and we're talking about Easter seafood here, so I think that that's definitely worth a consideration. And the batters are really very, very, very simple. And, of course, crumbing is another thing that is just delightful. If you do it yourself and set up a system where you actually do dip in a flour, and you can use your corn flour or arrowroot, then dip it in the egg, and then once again into your pancos. I do love those pancos. They give it a really nice little crunch. And the other night what I did, rather than doing the egg and the flour, I just dipped my fish straight into the Japanese mayo and then straight into the panko. And that just gave that real nice moisture and that little bit of an extra flavour by doing that fish in that particular manner. So that's worthwhile too, is having that little consideration just to do something that little bit different, and it makes a big difference to your family kitchen table. So when we come back, we're going to be talking kids' kitchen, and we're going to be talking about making some Rocky Road for Easter, whether it be a present for the grandies or their friends, or just something a little bit different to put in the camping or holidaying box if you're doing that. And also maybe making some really nice little marshmallow cones which they can decorate and do some pretty groovy little things on it. So we'll talk about that when we come back very shortly. And you're listening to Community Kitchen, and you're with Annette, and I'll be back very shortly.
We'll be right back with more from the Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.
Welcome to Community Kitchen, and we've been talking Easter cooking. Last week we talked about doing some really interesting things with lamb and marinating it and doing some great cooking. Today we're talking batters and fish and seafood, but now in Community Kitchen we're going to be talking about making some really great Rocky Road, and I think it's good for kids to learn these things. And honeycomb, I mean, I don't know about you, but honeycomb and marshmallow and, you know, all those homemade sweets were something that we had as children. I'm really sort of putting the old vintage in there, but it was something that you really loved, and it's something that you made, and it was something you look forward to. And I think also, whilst you're still using sugar, you're not using a lot of additives, which a lot of the sweets and goodies that we're buying nowadays just seem to have so many additives in them. But if you're just making a good old marshmallow, which doesn't take a lot to do, 2 cups of caster sugar, 1 tablespoon of gelatin, colouring and flavouring to your choice. You can use whatever you want there, desiccated coconut or icing sugar to decorate. But what about if you put them in some really nice cones, ice cream cones, dip the end in chocolate, do a little bit of decoration on the top? I think the kids could really enjoy this. Could be a really great little Easter project. Pop it in a container and share that around. So all you're doing with your marshmallow, and, you know, of course you're going to have a little bit of help here, because once you start to working with sugar and heat, it gets very, very hot. So mix the sugar and gelatin in the saucepan. Add about 2 cups of caster sugar and 1 tablespoon of gelatin. Then you add about 1.5 cups of water and stir, and let that stand for about 5 minutes. And then you're going to bring that to the boil. and boil rapidly for 5 minutes. Now, when we talk about boil rapidly, that's a whole lot of little tiny little bubbles on the top, and keep the kids away and make sure that handle's just out of the way. But bring that to the boil and boil rapidly for five. Get them to do the timer. Get them to get the cones out. Cool it. Now, when it starts setting, beat until really thick and white. Of course, you're going to have to use electric beaters on this. It really does take a little bit of time. Then, while you're beating, you can add your flavouring. You can do vanilla. You can do rose water. Rose water and a dab of pink is just so beautiful. But there's so many different combinations you can use. Now, you can just pour that straight into a greased tin and leave overnight. Cut into squares and roll in either icing, sugar or coconut. But what about if you poured that into ice cream cones? How nice would that be? You can dip the ice cream cones. You can put some goodies in there. While it's still setting, the kids could decorate the top with little tiny Easter eggs, sprinkle it with the hundreds and thousands, cut some bunny shapes out of the little different shapes of things, like even if you bought some little tiny marshmallows and cut them, or just use your Easter eggs, a little bit of licorice. You can do some really groovy things just with a couple of little items from the shop. And the kids have made them, and how delicious. The same as with the doing the Rocky Road. Once again, just using those combinations of just, say, for about 445 grams of cooking chocolate, melting that, and then fold in all the goodies you love. I love Turkish Delight in something like that. You can put different jelly lollies in there. You can put nuts. You can put dried fruits in there. Apricot and chocolate just goes so well together. There's so many nice combinations, but just remember with the chocolate, if you're going to be doing that in the microwave, just be steady with it, because it's one of those things that if you put too much heat with chocolate, it just seems to overcook and just become a great big dense lump. There's nothing you can do with it, so don't overcook it. I don't use a microwave personally. I just have a saucepan on the top of my stove and a stainless steel bowl, throw it in there, get the water hot, and then I just turn the water off, put the bowl on top, and the heat will usually soften that enough to play with it. It doesn't have to be boiling. You just want that to melt. But get a combination for goodies for the kids out to put it in, sorry. You can chop up different, you know, they say, you know, honeycombs and goodies like that. Or even putting some whole Easter eggs in there would be a really nice little combination to come through. But honeycomb in itself would be something that is delicious, and it's not hard to make, and we've talked about it, I think, before. But all you need to make honeycomb is 4 tablespoons of caster sugar, 2 tablespoons of honey, and 1 teaspoon of bicarb of soda. Once again, this is a hot process, so you mix your sugar and honey in a large saucepan, place on the heat and stir until boiling. Boil for about 5 minutes. Don't cook the living daylights out of it. Just a little rapid boil. And don't stir it. Just leave it sit. So don't make that too high when you're actually getting that on the boil. Add the soda. Remember, this is going to froth up crazy. Just make sure you put that through a bit of a sieve, because you know how bicarb can be a bit lumpy. And then you pour that immediately into a buttered dish or tray, because you want that to set. Now, that broken up and put in that chocolate could be really interesting to make a different type of Rocky Road. I know I'd like it because I love honeycomb. But there are just a couple of things to share, things that the kids can proudly make for Easter. And you know what's going in there. So I don't ever think there's too much wrong with chocolate. It's just delicious. When you come back, we're going to be talking about just a couple of cakes that you can do for Easter. Really easy, nice and delicious, and something to share. You're with Annette on Community Kitchen.
You're listening to The Community Kitchen with Annette on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, we've been talking Easter cooking for the last couple of weeks. Got to get in there when you can enjoy it. And of course, after Easter, we have got Anzac Day, and then after Anzac, we've got May Day. So we've got a few weekends that we can do a few laid-back cooking. But I thought Easter, carrot, let's have a carrot cake. And sometimes you just forget how nice a carrot cake is. And I was lucky enough just recently to have a really delicious one. And I love the cream cheese icing because it had great big chunks of crystallized ginger through it, and it just tasted scrumptious. I tell you what, it's worthwhile. And I know that I've got some down at Simply Living, just a couple of big handfuls of it. Chop it up and put it through that cream cheese and decorate at the top, and it just looked beautiful. And it tasted sensational. And this is a carrot cake using pineapple pulp. Now, remember to drain it. But the thing is, it makes it nice and moist, and it just, the pineapple juice can be used as a marinade for something else or make a sweet and sour sauce or something with it. But it really did give a nice different flavour. I think they call it a hummingbird or something like that. But 2.5 cups of plain flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, bit of salt, 1.5 teaspoons of cinnamon. Then you've got 1/2 teaspoon of cloves, 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg, and 1/2 teaspoon of ginger, 1 cup of oil, 1.5 cups of brown sugar, and 1/3 of sugar, just regular sugar, 4 eggs, 2 cups of carrot grated, that's about 4 carrots, and 1 cup of crushed pineapple, drained, and 1 cup of walnuts. Now, all you're going to do is just the flour, the spices and the soda, mix it all together. Make sure the sodas and the baking powder aren't sort of clinging together in great big blobs. And then you are going to put your spices in there. Then whisk together the oil, the sugars, the eggs and some vanilla. Add the pineapple and the carrots and then toss all that in the flours. And you're going to make a thick batter. It'll be delicious. Put your walnuts in, or you can leave the walnuts on the top. Doesn't matter, whichever way you do it. I love to eat through a cake where you get big crunchy bits of walnut. And you're going to cook that 350 for about 45 to 55 minutes. And with the icing, 245 grams of cream cheese, 115 of butter, and 3 cups of icing sugar and vanilla. Now, you can put some lemon juice in there, a bit of orange juice. You could even put a little bit of the pineapple juice if you wanted. Just don't let it get too soft. But once you've put that on the cool cake, then decorate that cake again with that lovely crystallized ginger. It just lifted that cake just so nicely. You could roast off some walnuts. You can candy them if you like, and all you need to do that is just put them in a saucepan with a little bit of maple syrup or a little bit of brown sugar and then cook that over the heat, and that will actually just make them beautiful and sugared and candied. And they could sit on top, which would make that a little bit different and yummy. Great textural thing. So that's a really nice cake. And then I thought, sometimes you forget about some of the things that you've cooked that are just so delicious. And an almond date and chocolate torte. If you've got those batters and you've got a couple of eggs, egg yolks you've used, and you've got some egg whites left over, this needs 4 egg whites and 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 cup of almonds roasted and roughly chopped, 1 cup of dates pitted and roughly chopped, and about 170 grams of cooking chocolate roughly chopped. So just chop all that stuff and put it aside. Preheat the oven to about 180 degrees. Remember, I don't talk fan forced. I just talk regular Celsius, so 180. Line a 20-centimeter cake tin. I like to use a removable base for this because you want to be able to take it out and leave the top so it's exposed. Beat your egg whites until soft peaks form. And like a meringue, add sugar a little bit at a time until the meringue is very thick and shiny. And don't be slack on this. Make sure you do take it to that because it's going to make a difference how that meringue sits and cooks. And then mix the almonds, the dates and the chocolate together. Fold that into the meringue. Just when you're folding, remember the big, big wide movements. You don't want to just beat it in. You want to fold it. You want to keep that aeration in the meringue. And put that into your prepared tin and bake for about 45 to 50 minutes until it's cool. Now, you can use a lot of different combinations with this. You can use your milk chocolate, your dark chocolate, or your white chocolate. You can use dried peaches or apricots, which is apricots and chocolate just go so well together. Use pistachios, hazelnut, pecans, or macadamia nuts, and just knock yourself out with that combination, because there's some really nice things happening there. And that's what I like about creating food. I'm sure that the recipes we've shared here, people have gone away and come up with something that's really interesting and a little bit different, because I think that's what cooking's all about. And, you know, when you think that sometimes you look back of the different foods that your grandparents or your parents have cooked, a lot of these things keep rolling around into different traditions. And over the Easter period, don't forget that fantastic seafood cocktail. Who doesn't love a prawn cocktail? That lovely shredded lettuce with just some nice fresh prawns. I know on Bribie you can get the most beautiful fresh prawns straight off the trawler. And you've just got to make that nice little seafood dressing, which is very easy. Of course, just a little bit of mayo. You might want to put some tomato sauce, a bit of Tabasco. You can jazz it up a little bit and put some chili in there. You can get some lovely coconut chili now. That can change it around a little bit. But overall, you just want to have that really lovely fine iceberg lettuce shredded. And be generous with the prawns. I think that's the one thing that I remember going out sometimes, you'd go to a place and they just have lettuce at the bottom and three prawns on top. But I think if you layer it a little bit, it's really lovely combination. And, of course, don't forget how nice calamari is. It's that on a barbecue is just so delicious. And tossing that with a great dressing, there's so many ways that you can do that. Once again, thinking back about the firecracker dressing, that could be a wonderful dressing for a whole combination of barbecued fish and prawns and calamari and just sort of just sprinkling that over the top. It's only a matter of your imagination, I guess, when it comes to cooking, just what you want to taste, the flavours you want to enjoy and what's available. The one thing I think is important is to be able to cook out of your pantry. Don't go out of your way to buy excessive ingredients to make some of these recipes, because they really don't need too many fancy goods. If you've got the basic sauces, vinegars, a little bit of soy sauce, a bit of chili and garlic and ginger, you can always end up making a fantastic dressing. So I hope the Easter Bunny finds you. Have a fantastic Easter. And I'll be with you next week. And who knows what we'll be talking about. Look forward to being with you then. And, of course, you've been with Annette on Community Kitchen. Happy Easter.